Parks Rec Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. It is 6:33.
Okay, I will call the meeting to order. Roll call, Lee Bushy here. David Doran?
Here.
Robert Ferguson?
Here.
Martha Bonnie excused. Angela Qualchuk-Adrian's excused. Kelsey Prescott is not present yet. Trustee Rob Atwood?
Here.
Others present from the village?
Chris Clark?
Oh, Matt Hahn.
Thank you.
I think he was calling you Chris Clark.
Do I have a motion to adopt or modify the agenda?
Motion to adopt as is.
Motion by Rob Atwood, seconded by David Dorn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Has everybody had a chance to review the January 26th minutes, meeting minutes? If so, do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Robert Ferguson, seconded by Lee Bushy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Public appearances.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'm in charge of pedestrian support, so walkers. Just wanted this group to know that we're looking carefully at the proposed pedestrian refuge islands on the Riverside Drive project as they relate to getting from the different neighborhoods, whether it's St. Mary Street or the condominiums over on St. Joseph Street, to the Fox River Trail and to the parks along the trail itself. So you have county parks, you have St. Francis Park, you have Heritage Hill State Park, which the part that isn't enclosed is open to pedestrians by state law. So that's a state park. And then some other parks. But that's, we're just looking carefully at the pedestrian refuge islands and looking for input from people with regards to the need for sidewalks and bike routes and that type of thing.
How do you define a refuge island?
A refuge island is a median with a cutout in it that allows wheelchairs and assisted vehicles, motorized wheelchairs, to make it safely through. Usually there's some sort of, you'll know it when you get to it. Ideally they're big enough to stand with your bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they can be a little smaller. A good example would be in front of Bellin Hospital, the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pedestrian refuge island there. On Chicago Avenue, it's just like a regular median, mm-hmm. except for it's big enough so that you kind of feel safe. You only have to cross two lanes of one-way traffic instead of trying to scurry across four lanes of bypassing traffic. So people feel much safer. So safety is what it's all about, and getting people to use it if it's, we want to make sure that it's safe.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
That's why you want a diploma.
I have a hearing aid in one ear, and I didn't hear what he was saying, but I assume it was about the Tonga Country property.
He was talking about the refuge islands.
The pedestrian crossings.
The refuge island.
The pedestrian crossings on Riverside Drive.
Where Tonga Country was.
He was saying all along.
In one area.
Various,
in one of those areas, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about that property, I know everything.
Can you state your name and address?
Oh, Rita Houston, 122 Old Alloway Court. Yeah, I knew the man that owned all that property. The golf course and the property where the Stog building is and so on.
Who was that?
where the Scott building.
Who?
Oh, the Willowbrook office building. Oh, Vince Henry.
Vince Henry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long ago was it a golf course? When did it stop being a golf course?
When I was a kid.
A long
when
time
did
ago.
It stop? I wish it was still there.
Yeah.
And there was a driving range and a par 3 across the street.
Bet you 40 years.
At least 40 years ago.
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't think it's that long.
Well,
70s?
Yeah. I just met the man that owned, that bought all that property. My husband was offered the whole package for $80,000, and we couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, what did I want to ask you?
Anything you want.
Well, anything. For one thing, about the parks. Why do we have so many parks? Are they all private gifts or whatever?
Some of them were given to the village that way. Some of them through developments. A lot of our parks along the East River are parcels of land that weren't developable because of the type of land that it is. It really
the
couldn't
East River you're talking
correct.
About.
Really mm-hmm. couldn't be developed, so they became, you know, village properties that were turned into parks.
Well, we didn't have any parks when I was a kid.
Okay.
Green Isle was our junkyard.
Sure, sure.
Now look what it is.
Yeah. But great park.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But why, I wonder why that property can't be used some other way if we don't need all those parks.
Okay. Okay. A lot of times, you know, a lot of our smaller parks are neighborhood parks, and they're...
Are they used?
They are. They are.
All of them are used?
They have playgrounds in them, used by kids, or they have sport fields, you know, different things like that, or they're access points to other things. Probably not used as much as they used to be years ago, but they're still used.
We don't have
right?
as many kids as we used to
right.
have.
But we are seeing more younger families moving in as well.
We used to have to go inside the reformatory.
Oh, sure, sure.
We didn't play there, but we watched all the sports.
Okay.
So
okay.
that was the only park we considered.
Sure, sure.
For our fun. There was one other thing I was going to ask, and I think
one other comment I'll make for you. When we did the survey, we just recently did our parks plan for the village, and so we did have surveying of the public, of the citizens. And one of the feedbacks we heard from the comprehensive plan was one of Alloway's greatest assets are our parks.
You know, but we've got 13 parks.
Yeah, people really like the parks. So I don't know why we have so many, but people really like them.
Would you like to see something else? Did you have something in mind?
No, I just wondered whether that property couldn't be put to better use. Because at one time, like 1980 or 1990, we were projected to have a population of 20,000 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And instead we've gone backwards.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that property along the East River is wetland, right?
Right,
I imagine.
Exactly.
So nothing, you couldn't really build anything on that land. Any structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, buildings or
I remember now.
Homes.
Okay, I understand. Because I just got something in the mail about Green Bay used to be nothing but swamp and mosquitoes. And that's when we had the big settlement down here at the end of Elway Avenue. That was well known. But anyhow, my daughter and I donated the crane sculpture for Sunset Park. And I wanted to put something around it because there's chickweed and everything. We take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I noticed that they did put some flower gardens there.
Okay.
And they did put, what do you call them? My dad was a landscaper.
Mulch?
No, we can put mulch, and we do. But the ring around it.
The edging?
Yeah,
the edging. Okay.
So I was down there once and when they were mowing and I asked if we could put some edging around it so I wouldn't have to go down there all the time. And they said no, because it was easier not to. But every year I've got to go down and dig that chickweed out.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you've got them up on top, why could we not put one down below?
We could sure take a look at that and Yeah, I can take a look at that this spring, and we can see if we can't do something to make that, you know, better landscaped.
Would Rita have to do it, or would the village?
No, I think that's something we could. Yeah, I think that's something we could take a look at.
It wouldn't have to be privately, though.
No.
Okay.
No. But,
no, because we'd be willing to do it privately, but they said, no, it would be easier not to do it for cutting purposes.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, you've got them up on top, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people have finally stopped complaining about it being their park. I think.
The neighborhood, right? The neighborhood around there?
The neighbors were.
Yeah.
One in particular was very upset because they claimed it was their park, but they weren't taking care of it.
Not a park.
And I knew the man that owned the property. That's where the old first golf course in the area was, Fox River Country Club. Mm. It was right there.
Okay.
Wow, I never knew that either.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be surprised what I know.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll write it up. So we'll get you the information on the Fox River Country Club.
I've got that all written up.
Do you
want it?
So. Sure. If you've got it written up, that'd be great to have any of that historical stuff.
I think Brad has it.
Oh, okay.
But maybe Brad wasn't in by then because he was the one that let us put the crane sculpture down there.
And that's a great addition to that park, I think.
Oh, they love it. Yes. My gosh. I go down there and I carry water and people come up and grab the bottles right from my hand. Mm-hmm. And one woman came by, and she was from North Dakota, I think. She took the shovel right out of my hand and started digging around. So it's our responsibility. But as long as you've got a border around the top ones.
I'll definitely take a look at that and see if we can't do something for that.
Okay, that's all I had. That's why he wanted me here, I guess.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for the sculpture.
Oh, well, everybody loves it.
It is beautiful.
Oh, you've seen it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to number 5, information on Fox River Trail winter maintenance update.
Just wanted to give the committee a quick update on a couple of items. One is the Fox River Trail winter maintenance update. This winter, the village board had wanted to look into see what it would take for the village to do maintenance on the Fox River Trail. It's a state trail owned by the state of Wisconsin, maintained by Brown County Parks. So as a village entity, we couldn't just go out and plow it. So we looked into it, and with a cooperation with Brown County Parks, and we're going to work as well with the state of Wisconsin, we're going to continue to try to come up with an agreement so that next year, next winter, we can have an agreement in place for the village to take on that operation of maintaining that trail, removal of snow from the Green Bay border down to the De Pere border. So then it will be available for recreational use, walking, running, biking, those type of things during the winter as well. We're going to continue to maintain the Rush Family East River Trail for winter sports such as snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, as the snow will allow us to. And then this will be another opportunity for people to utilize. So
was somebody plowing that a little bit?
There were some unauthorized plowings of that trail this winter.
It wasn't me.
Both in Alloway and in De Pere. One in De Pere we found out was actually somebody, you know, with a pickup truck or something, and they only went about a quarter mile and stopped. But then I also noticed it looked like somebody had, I was down by Heritage Hill, and somebody had gone through with, it looked like a four-wheeler. It was about that wide. Had gone through there with a plow. So
by Wheezy Park, too, down by Wheezy.
Oh, okay.
It looks like somebody went through there at one time.
Okay.
What's nice, I mean, sometimes when you're walking that, mm-hmm. when they walk it, they'll get a snowmobile. You'll see some snowmobile tracks, and they'll buzz around there. Right. It's kind of nice where they pack it down.
I agree. Sure. To follow up on that, ideally what we'd like to do at some point in the future is maybe with the East River Trail, is maybe be able to accommodate both uses, where maybe we can put the cross-country ski trail off of the paved section, maybe alongside, and then be able to remove the snow from the paved section so we could have, you know, accommodate both uses, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to follow up on that in the future years. We tried to do some, we looked at some areas where we could do some off trail trails off of the paved area, and there's some potential there, so we're going to continue to look at that.
Should it be kind of costly to maintain that during the winter, huh?
Not necessarily. The estimate we came up with to do the Fox River Trail, for having our staff do the maintenance of it, and this would be, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, I think it was 16 one-inch snowfalls. That was the average, something like that. It came out to close to $9,000 for the year, but a lot of that was labor cost. You know, and the majority, we already own a lot of the equipment that we would need to do it, and even Brown County Parks said that they could assist in times of need if need be. So,
is the staff for that?
Are we staffed?
Right.
Yes.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah, we would be. It's just, you know, it would be in addition to our snow removal operations, mm-hmm. and we estimate, you know, to do that length of trail. Less than a few hours, you know, to be able to go through and take care of that. And, you know, some years, you know, it's all weather dependent. Some years,
yeah.
we get a lot of snow. Other years, we don't, you know, right. get very much. This year, we've had, what, three real bigger snowstorms? So, so we're going to continue to work on that. It's something we're going to bring back to the village board, you know, here before next year. Mm-hmm. And, to make sure that we can keep going with that project. So.
Good. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. The other item I wanted to mention quickly, the Sunset Park Trail Spur Project. This is a project that the village has been working on with a few other groups over the last couple of years. The Friends of the Fox River Trail, Brown County Parks Department, and a private company, Stantec Corporation from DePere. And we started
and
the
Fox Wisconsin Heritage Park.
And Fox Wisconsin Heritage Park. Thanks, Jim. I always forget them. We started the project with more or less, and with the location of where this is between Sunset Park, you know, the moat area, the real nice portion of it, and the DePere boat landing. There is an area that is wooded, if you can call it wooded. The majority of it is all buckthorn, invasive species. It's this area that's down in here.
Okay.
And we have it in our plan. We have accommodated for doing some updates to that area and trying to, you know, whether that's installing trail, benches, other things like that. Gazebo, some fish habitat. These are all a little bit longer range items, but it's a project that shows good partnership. And what we are currently working on for this year, we're going to have a couple of dates where we're going to have the groups get together, continue on the invasive species removal. Eventually, we want to come in with some native species and do some replanting, revegetation. This spring, summer, we're going to need to do a wetland delineation of the property to see what we can and can't do, you know, what we're allowed to do. You know, looking at a potential trail, and if it's wetlands, we might have to look at something like a boardwalk or something along that lines, but there's a lot of real good people that are involved with this, and a lot of partnerships, looking at grants, different things like that. So I think it'll be a great addition to that park. And let's see, what am I going to say? Two dates that we were looking at, May and September. So other than that, that's about it for that project. Like I said, the first thing we'll be doing is more of the invasive species removal and the wetland delineation. So, okay. Any questions with that?
Moving on to number six, discussion on recreation programs.
Matt, all yours.
I put together a list of some potential recreation programs that I'm hoping to get started here either this year, next year, you know, in the coming future. I try to break it up amongst youth, adult, senior, and then family-related rec programs. I can go down the list, but I'm sure you guys can all read it. Some of the things would be adding like a youth or adult golf classes. I know we used to run some, but my thought was to contract with Bisbee Golf, which is over in Bellevue, or Ledgeview Golf, which is over in De Pere, and work with them to hold a class for the village of Alloway here over there at their facility, which would then provide those who take the class a chance to actually golf at an actual golf course rather than in a park. We have the summer camp program, which we're starting this year, which I'll get in more. I'll go over at the end here. We worked with the Wisconsin DNR to get a hunter safety class. That'll start actually. It's coming up in May here. It'll be held over at Green Isle Park, but we're working with them to provide a hunter safety class. Counselor and training program kind of goes hand-in-hand with our summer camp program. That's basically for kids who are 13 to 16 years of age to come learn some leadership skills, kind of work with our summer camp staff and learn different aspects of that.
Just to touch on that a little bit more. The reason the 13 to 16-year-old is because their summer camp only goes to 12 years old, and a lot of kids aren't able to get a job until, you know, 15, 16 years old. So maybe something in between there to give them a little bit of experience and some, you know, work experience and garner some work ethic.
Looking into the future would provide us with a stock of kids that we could potentially hire for the camp program, you know, moving forward. So
our farm team.
There you go. When I was in Bellevue, some of these worked, some of them didn't. When schools had off for a day, we planned a trip to a conservatory down in Appleton. I forget what it was called, but where the kids would go and learn how maple syrup was made. We took a trip to
Buboltz.
That's what it is, Buboltz Nature Preserve out in Appleton, and then we took a trip to. The planetarium over in Appleton as well, but we had a few kids that would sign up for that. It gives parents an opportunity to have some place to go with their kids, but then also just kind of a safe, fun trip thing. Martial arts for youth. Right now, our taekwondo class is for 8 and up, so providing something for younger kids to partake in some martial arts. Expanding our dance programs, including POMS and hip-hop classes. And then mini events, whether it be, I know some of the staff that we have here in Alloway now and some that I've worked with in the past, they have a lot of really unique things that they can do. Whether it be running science classes where they can do some chemistry things with kids or biology things, or just really creative staff that like to do a princess party with younger kids. They come in, do some princess games, make some princess crafts, and have like a little snack or something. So little things like that for the youth. Adult, we started Zumba in February. The first class, or the first session of it, we have 15 people registered for that. So that's going pretty well. We've had Annette Grunseth has been the winner of the cover of the All About Alloway guide for the last couple of years. So I was thinking about contacting her and maybe having her work with us as far as running some photography classes. Again, golf, working with Bisbee or Ledgeview. Pickleball classes. I know pickleball is kind of becoming a big thing amongst adults and even seniors. We have someone here in the village who right now opens up
Kiwanis.
She opens up Kiwanis and runs kind of pickleball, just open kind of leagues right now, but working with her to get something more structured where people could sign up for it and learn about the program.
It's pickleball.
Pickleball is a miniaturized version of tennis.
It's played with a wiffle ball and a hard paddle rather than like a netted racket. Okay. And it's a much smaller court. Right. Usually it's played in groups of, like, two people against two other people. Right.
The court fits on one side of a tennis court.
Okay.
The full court will fit on one side of a tennis court. Okay. It's real popular with the senior age class because it's active, but it's not as much running as the tennis. And in some areas, they get pretty serious about it.
Yeah. I have a membership to the Croc Center, and every Sunday they have open pickleball, and there's at least 20 to 30 people just, you know, in there playing games, and a lot of them are just standing off to the side because there's not enough courts for them to play. So, you know, it's a big thing.
Do you have a rescue squad there, too?
We'll have to do it so it's close to the fire department.
Wow.
Some senior things that I want to try to do, have like a monthly program here in this room here. During the week, it's not really heavily utilized, but I've heard from some seniors that they want something more than just going to play cards. You know, we still want to provide that option because there are a number of people that go and do that, but provide an option for some seniors to come learn about something new, whether it be learn how to use smartphones or iPads or tablets in general, or learn about financial things that they need to know about, or just health-related things. So working with various financial places around the area, Camera Corner has said that they would be willing to come in and teach some technology classes, and then working with Purveya to kind of do some health-related things. But anyway, we want to do, like, each month, you know, one day a month, and if we need to expand it and do multiple days, but start off with just doing one day each month where we have some sort of topic going on that seniors can come for free and come learn something or try something new. Senior events, me and Chris kind of talked about the idea of there's a number of really great senior events that go on in the area, and why reinvent the wheel? Why not partner with those that already do them? We have a great Bellevue right across the river over here. They run a great holiday event and a great summer picnic event. So I've reached out to them to see if we could partner with them. They're working with their senior board to decide how they want to go about doing financials and things with that. But partnering with them to, you know, join on with the senior program or events that they're already running. We actually did join on with Howard and Suamico. They run a Valentine's dinner and dance and a Halloween dinner and dance. We joined on with them for the Valentine's dinner and dance and had 9 people register here. We actually had to turn some people away because we just didn't have enough time to get enough word out. And when some people actually found out about it, it was too late. We had to give a final number. But we had 9 people from here come, which is actually more than what Suamico brought to the event. And they've been doing it for a number of years. So, and then, like Chris said, pickleball classes for seniors, again, something... some seniors, not everyone knows how to play, but giving them an opportunity to try something new. I know when Jenny was here, she was working with the Alloway Business Association about running some movie in the parks. I do have experience with that in Bellevue, so I've reached out to the Alloway Business Association, Gail, who I believe is the president over there. So I'm working with her to try to get a movie in the park set up, the event, so that way we can try that this summer and see how that works. Some of the more challenging aspects is, you know, where do you get the screen from and whatnot, so we'll have to work through that, but that would be something that we're looking at more family-orientated. I had an idea when I was in La Crosse. They run this Rotary Lights event where they have a walk that goes down by the river. And along the river, they have trees set up that businesses sponsor these trees. And the businesses come down, decorate the trees with their own kind of ornaments and things that are associated with their business. So I was thinking doing something similar here in Green Isle, where we contact businesses in Alloway or even outside of Alloway to sponsor a tree, come down, decorate it. We can do kind of a fun opening event.
Almost like a botanical garden, huh?
Yeah, something very similar to that. Mm-hmm. But again, working with the Alloway Business Association would be a good partner there to work with them to try to get something like that set up. In March, we're going to do a Park Madness event. It's a social media type event. Basically, it kind of follows along with the NCAA tournament. What I have is I have all of the parts broken down into different brackets and things, and each day I will post something on Facebook, giving a brief history of the park, of each park, and then we'll have people vote on Facebook as to which park they think should move on. And then we actually got some donations from area businesses. The Village Grill, Schrader's Flowers, and Heritage Hill has provided us with some donations, so we'll give away a prize at the end for those who participate. And then the last thing, doing a park scavenger hunt, again, kind of social media related, we'll hide some sort of token, whether it be a cutout of Chris or Brad or something out in the park.
Brad.
And then we'll post on Facebook and Twitter giving a clue as to where it is, and people can go out there with their families, hunt for the clue, and then they'll take a picture with them and their families with the token, and then they'll post it on our Facebook page, and hopefully we can get some donations to give away prizes for that as well. So just fun ways to get people, one, more knowledge of the parks that we have, utilizing our social media, and then also in the summertime getting them out to the parks and exploring other parks that maybe they didn't know were in Alloway. So those are kind of the big ones that I've thought of thus far and hope to kind of get going in the near future.
That is quite the achievement for not even being here a year.
That's pretty impressive.
Right, and that's one of the reasons we brought Matt on board because, you know, he had a lot of great ideas, and you know, we want to expand our recreation opportunities for the community, and
Great job. Some
good things coming.
Yeah, one thing that you didn't mention that was pretty strong the last 2 years was the youth tennis program.
We have that. That's coming back. Yep.
That'll come back?
Yep, that'll come back. We're actually...
Same guy?
Same guy will be teaching. Actually, we're adding an adult class this year, too. He said that there was a big... there was a number of adults that have asked about it, so we'll be adding an adult class this summer as well.
Yeah, we didn't cover some of the... current programs
right.
that we
yep.
offer.
Yep, all the programs that we've run in the past, but we're still going to run these. Those are just new ones.
That one just came to mind because I know that my son participated in that program last year, and there was only like four boys that participated in it, and that coach was really good.
Yep.
Who was it?
It's Wade Van Horn.
Wade Van Horn?
I think so.
Yeah.
The summer camp program, I know it was mentioned at the last meeting, we're getting rid of the park program, repackaging it as a summer camp program. Couple of the reasons for doing that, one, the park program was heavily subsidized, whether it be by other programs or tax. This summer camp will pay for itself. Ultimately, all the staff, all operating supplies are going to be paid through the program just by changing up the way that it's run. It'll be more of a... people's parents will sign their kids up per week rather than for the whole summer. The prices are obviously quite a bit, they're more expensive than what they were, but they are going to get much more out of the program. It's going to be much more structured. It'll be state licensed, so we'll be following state licensing rules. Our staff will be better trained in that they'll have to go through 24 hours of pre-camp training, which includes concussion training, child abuse and neglect training, first aid CPR training, and just a whole litany of policies and procedures that we've added to the camp. They'll be going on a field trip every week. Each week we're going someplace, whether it be Lambeau Field to do a Hall of Fame and Stadium tour, or going to a Timber Rattlers game. There's a whole litany of field trips that will be going on. And each week we'll have a theme. Our camp coordinator, who I brought on with me, she has great ideas. Each week has a different theme. All the activities that we are going to do that week revolve around those different themes. So it'll be a Monday through Friday program, so it's not Monday through Thursday anymore. It's 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. Parents have the option of adding on a extra care at the beginning, which gives them from 7 until 9. Or adding on extra care at the end of the program, which gives them 4 to 5. So essentially, there could be some kids in our care between 7 a.m. all the way up to 5 p.m. So it'll be a much different program, but I think overall it will be a better program, definitely. We're in week 3 of registration, and right now we're at 13% capacity. For the first year, never running the program before, I mean, it's doing pretty well. I think from a lot of the parents I've talked to, a lot of positive things, not very many negative, complaints about changing the fees or changing the program at all. There's a lot of parents that will wait until the last minute. I mean, Chris knows there'll be a lot of parents that'll wait until the snow's gone and then realize that summer's right around the corner. What are we going to do with our kids? So I expect those numbers will go up, but I'm pretty happy with 13% thus far.
What percent do you need to be to cover the expense of the program?
I think when I figured it out, I have to do some math. Hold on. I figured it out that if we can get up to 36 kids per week, we're licensed for 48, so we can take up to 48. But if we can get 36 kids per week, we'll actually make a little revenue on at the end. So,
and you know, one thing with that is being a licensed program, you have to have so many staff, or one staff for so many kids. What is that?
It's one adult for every 12 kids.
So if we don't have those numbers sign up, we don't have to hire on that much staff as well. So that will save us, you know, some money.
Great program. I've gone through that circus at the Y trying to get kids into that program where you're standing in line at 5 a.m. on the west side.
I'd like you to come to speak at our Optimist Club. We meet in Alloway every Monday.
Okay.
And this club's been around. I think it's one of the oldest Optimist Clubs. We don't have a lot of members.
Do you meet at the Village Grill?
No, that's no.
Is that?
That might be the that could be the Alloway Optimist Club.
Oh, okay, okay.
This is the Monday noon Optimist Club.
Okay.
And because we give money to these kids programs, so okay. We do a lot with the Y. So that's one
excellent
avenue. Right. To excellent. Come in. I think that what you have here is pretty exciting. I think that we'd be definitely be interested in that.
This program is very similar to what the YMCA offers, mm-hmm. YMCA camp program.
I have a huge
background. That's Matt's background.
How do the rates compare?
Well,
our rates compared to the other programs.
To the Y.
We are much cheaper than the Y, the Croc Center. I mean, even Bellevue, mm-hmm. right across the way, we're actually cheaper than them as well.
I think you'll fill that program.
I think once we get to the end, I think we will.
Yeah, with the information out.
Yeah, and I've spoken with several parents that are kind of on hold pattern right now. They're looking at other options, but as soon as they see,
well, anytime when you've got a first year program like this too, it's like you know, I want my kid to go with his friends or her friends,
exactly.
And they're going mm-hmm. to the Y or they're going to the Croc or they're going.
Sure.
It takes a little transition period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Right. And we do offer for non-residents as well for, you know, additional fee.
Yep.
So, we're pretty excited about it.
Actually, there's a lot of non-residents already signed up, mm-hmm. so. We contacted a few different businesses to get sponsorships for, because when we go on the field trips, all the kids will be wearing the same field trip shirt, so we offered sponsorship on the pack of the shirts.
Good idea.
We heard back from, we're actually raised $900 thus far from various sponsors from Equity Financial, Equity Design, Craig Siminski, and then also
Lorelei
is also sponsored for the back of the shirts, yeah. And then there was an orthodontic specialist that donated $300 as well to the program, so.
Right.
Some donated dollars will help out.
Craig's in our club, so.
Oh, okay.
You talked to him already, so.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm sure he knows a lot about you then.
Okay.
Good. Anything else on recreation programs? Moving on to donation and sponsorship options.
Donation and sponsorship options. This came up, I know, I think Rob had asked about a few months back about ways that we could take a look at offering ways for people to donate to the cause, more or less, to help assist the village in operation costs and different things. And it's something that Matt and I have been looking into, and Matt had some real great ideas. He came up with the sponsorship package that it's kind of a pre-put-together deal, so when somebody does come to us and say, hey, we've got this money. We want to help out. What can we do? Well, here you go. Here's some opportunities for you to be able to, you know, pick and choose what you may want to sponsor, different levels, and as well as, you know, events, whether that's, you know, senior gala, summer picnic, movies in the park, you know, different levels of sponsorships there. Other items are, you know, park improvements. A couple of ideas that Matt had was park kiosks, which, you know, we have some in some parks, but, you know, other parks don't have that, which we can, you know, have somebody sponsor that. We put a small little plaque on there sponsored by. Gives them a little bit of recognition, but then gives us an opportunity to have a location to
post information.
You know, post a lot more information, try to get word out to people. AED sponsors. That's one of those items that you can never have enough of. And, if we can get people to sponsor those and put them at various locations, public parks, different locations like that, those would be a great thing. Refrigerator sponsor. For the summer camp program, we're looking to get a new refrigerator at Green Isle Park so that, it can accommodate all the kids' snacks and items like that. And that's, one of the items that we're looking to get some sponsorship funding, from that. And again, Kiwanis Park Playground. I spoke with Kiwanis Club about that already. But there's always opportunities. And we'll be looking at additional opportunities in the future years as well. To help in funding our capital improvements or other programs that we have to offer. Another opportunity is just kind of a general donation to give people the opportunity to, if they want to say, donate $25, they can even pick and choose maybe what area that they would like that money to go towards. You want it to go towards our recreation programs in general or to our park operations, those type of things. Even if they wanted to donate towards, our landscaping or village forestry operations or things like that. But this gives them an opportunity to, come in and provide some assistance to
so
our operations.
Just going out to businesses?
This will be available to businesses, individuals, clubs, okay. Anybody.
Yeah, are you thinking about doing the mailing, right?
That would be the ideal situation, is to, at the beginning of the year, go through this, what things do we need to add, what things do we need to take out, and then mail it out to area businesses, and just that way they have it in their hand, they can physically see what's on there.
Yeah, but what about residents, though?
Well, and we provide this information, more electronically to the residents. Yeah. We provide it in All About Alloway. Say, hey, if you're interested in donations, go to our website.
Well, you got to remember there's a lot of older residents in Alloway that.
And we can definitely mail it out.
I just wanted to think about that.
Well, and other items too, even the Alloway neighbors.
Checking out the Alloway neighbors.
That gets mailed to every home. And we put a lot of information in that.
Yeah.
Every month we're adding something to that.
That'd be perfect.
So we're trying to, cost-effectively reach everybody as much as possible without mailing, paying for postage and mailing something to every home. But, trying to reach out as much as we can and providing these type of opportunities for people.
Is that something we could put... Instead of featuring a family every, when's that come out? Every month. Maybe not doing the family one month and just putting something like that.
Well, and my guess is, there's only so many families around. They're going to run out of families to pick.
Yeah.
To tell the story about. So they're going to, look for other opportunities of things to, put on the cover or whatnot.
Yeah.
But
we don't have an official Friends of the Parks thing in Alloway.
Not at this point. Okay. It's something that I've thought a little bit about, and at some point down the road, I think we would want to look into that.
This whole general donation thing almost sounds more like a Friends of the Parks thing.
Correct, and it could. One thing that a friends group could bring to the table for us is being a nonprofit organization and being a 501c3, which helps in obtaining grants and things that even us as a government entity aren't able to obtain. So that's definitely something that we'll be looking at into the future give us that potential. So a couple of other items with regards to the donations and the sponsorships. One of the big kind of buzz things that's going on right now is a lot of crowdfunding, which is using sites like the GoFundMe sites. I'm sure everybody's heard of that. Somebody puts their cause up on a GoFundMe site, whether it's you know, help people that were in this tragic situation or help fund our playground. And you get people all over the board that'll pay, you know, donate $5, they'll donate $100, they'll donate $1,000. And so those are some opportunities that, you know, we could start to look at too, of ways to allow people to donate or provide, you know, financial assistance, but also ways that we can look to, you know, subsidize our budgets and make sure that we have the funding to do a lot of these capital projects. This $6 million it was that we had in our book here. Any questions with regards to that? I know that you had asked about that at one point, and
good stuff.
Yeah, Matt did a lot of good work on this, and I think it's an opportunity. And you know, like you said, it's a prepackaged item. You know, that when somebody asks, we've got it right there. We don't have to think, okay, what, you know, what opportunity we have to.
Hey, did somebody mention a refrigerator?
Well, right, hey, right. You know,
give me $25 towards a refrigerator.
Right, exactly. So,
well, and I think one of the things, and maybe this is off topic a little bit too, but I think it was initiated from a conversation that you and I had before I was even on this board about picking a day or even a week for that matter for the Alloway Beautification Committee, that area businesses would ask customers, can we round it up to the next dollar and take that money and give it to the Beautification Committee so that they can do more with what they have to make the streets and the park entrances and all that look even better. You know, maybe we can take that one step further and do another week or a day for this cost.
Mm-hmm.
Make Alloway better,
right?
You know,
no, great idea.
You know, maybe Austin's or something. You know, if it's our grocery store here, I mean, maybe you could hook up with them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think Chuck Austin still runs it, doesn't he? Still, and I think maybe the kids do or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, you're talking about this rounding up thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No,
but, I mean, hey, you could do it everywhere. You could do it at the gas station, the shell station.
They do it at that fire someplace over in Ashwaubenon.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So.
Sure. No, and those are great opportunities, and you know, every little bit helps, because before you know it, that 50 cents turns into $10, turns into, you know, 100. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but we're seeing more and more communities do things like this, and we're seeing more and more sponsorship opportunities, naming rights. You know, ways to assist the local government with being able to fund things. So,
okay.
You know, and one thing that we talked about with that sport group was mm-hmm. the sponsorship banners for at the park. You know, put on the fence. You know, there's an opportunity for revenue there that allow us to be able to pay for a lot of these mm-hmm. capital improvements and park improvements. So.
Okay, anything else? Moving on to number 8, discussion on program and facility rental fee waivers.
Sure. This is just an item that the village board had asked me about, you know, a few months back, and I just wanted to gauge what the committee thought and get some of your opinions or some of your ideas. I believe it was back the current young professionals kickball tournament. You know, maybe it was about a year ago that they came and they asked to be for their fees. They're going to have a kickball tournament down at Riverview Park, and they wanted their fees waived because they're you know, fundraisers. You know, they were doing it for a fundraiser, and President Gast had asked for us to you know, talk to the committee and see if there's a policy that we want to create as to who would be allowed to have fees waived, you know, whether that's program fees, rental fees, different things like that. And, you know, who would be allowed to do it, and what would the process be for them to, you know, go about that. You know, so kind of an open question. I'm going to start working on a policy for this. And I guess, you know, from your perspective, who do you think would qualify for fee waiver, you know, such as, would it be, you know, village-affiliated groups, groups that are, you know, sport groups that are sponsored, you know, more or less by our rec department, nonprofits, charitable groups, fundraisers, you know, government entities. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, throw a question out there and seeing.
I think in any of those those organizations, I think it's fair to ask for a fee that helps us offset the cost of maintenance.
Okay.
I think one of the examples that came up is, you know, and I don't remember the dollars that were thrown around, but if you're renting a facility for $50 that's having a run race and they're using the public facilities at that place and they're using $75 worth of toilet paper and the maintenance of keeping the bathroom up and everything else, I think it's fair to ask them for reimbursement for those type of things, because there's the park maintenance of the garbage, the maintenance of the bathrooms and everything else. Because I'll guarantee you, the first time you have an event like that, that the bathrooms aren't to their part, you're going to hear about it. You're going to say, well, you know, the bathrooms were disgusting. Well, you had 300 people using it. And
what about
wait a second,
the
what was the fee?
Too, you know?
Yeah, it, well,
if it,
that's what I mean.
Especially if it's wet out. I mean, they're going to rip the heck out of the field. Like, well, who goes in and has to reseed or
you know, and
do that
and,
stuff?
Yeah. And typically that's on our dime, you know, on things like that.
I don't think any of these, I mean, they're all for a great cause.
Sure.
But it shouldn't be at somebody else's burden, you know, to do it. Right. So I would say that, it, you know, in terms of waiving the fee, I don't know, exercise a good judgment, you know. I don't know if there's a set thing. I don't know if you can do a black and white policy or a guideline, you know. But if it's an event that is going to be attracting 0 to 50 people, maybe it's $15 or $20. I don't know. You know, what's the norm? If it's an event, you know, like the old car show, you know, hopefully there's a nice donation from those folks, or a minimum donation. Because there's been a few years that it's been pretty wet down there. Tore up that park pretty good. You know, because that's a rain or shine event. And there's a prime example of heavy, heavy use on our facilities over there.
One year they had to move it right over here.
To the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Brad told me about that because it was so wet.
It was wet. It was underwater.
A great program, don't get me wrong.
But
I think it's fair to ask for, am I off base?
No, anybody? No, I think
opposed
so.
Opposed to that?
I think so. There are still going to be groups that are going to ask, and I know that, that are going to ask for the fee to be waived. Should we give them an opportunity, an avenue to do that, whether that be that they come to the committee or they go to the village board and say, this is what our cause is, would you be willing to waive the fee?
I've seen where other municipalities have, they have a more, we'll say a form, it's not really a form, but they have a form that people can fill out, and that would go to you, the director. You would determine, is this worthy to bring to the park commission or the board, or are we just going to stop it right here? And at that point, if you feel that it is worthy, you know, then it, I've seen some municipalities where they just bring the form and then they bring it up to the group and the group decides yay or nay. Or I've seen where the first the group is requested to come in and make their case for why should it be waived or, you know, fees reduced, I guess. You know, that's the other way you can look at it, too, is it doesn't have to be fully waived, but it could be reduced as well.
Yeah, I think if you had something where they had to create their case as to why we should waive it, you know, that they're not using facilities, or they're going to do maintenance themselves, or they'll bring their own toilet paper, or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm just using that
if
as
they,
an example,
yeah,
but it's still
bring,
an expense
they,
that's
if,
incurred by,
if they build
by
their
village
case,
taxpayers.
You know, I just don't think it should be a flat okay if you're a not-for-profit, your fee is waived.
Right.
I think they should have to build their case as to why we should consider either a waiver or a reduction in their fee.
And, too, you know, let's say you get a, you say you get a group from the village of Howard where they're coming over here and they want it waived. Well, why aren't you doing it in Howard? Well, because
it's $200.
So we're going to keep on going wherever we go until we find a place that...
And there are groups out there that do that.
Sure, yeah.
They'll skip around and try to get things as cheap or as free as they can. And, you know, they don't care where they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, and to their credit, too. You know what I mean? But I think it's fair for us to cover our... We're not trying to profit from it. We're just trying to cover our expenses.
Not terribly, but a lot of times when you get somebody that's doing a fundraiser for this or that, or, you know, somebody that's trying to raise funds for a sick person, a cancer fundraiser or something like that, the first thing they do is they want their fee waived for it. And our fees really aren't that expensive to begin with, but, you know, it's, you know, those type of situations. And, you know, if we got to a point where it was a big group that wanted to rent Green Isle Park and then have all their fees waived, well, that's a lot of missed revenue from our end, too.
Yeah.
So, but, okay.
Yeah,
do you think it would take
each one?
Case by case.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that you guys would want to make that decision, or just go straight to the village board with something like that? Because ultimately, I'm thinking it would probably have to go there anyway. Yes or no?
They have enough on their plate. Keep it right here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll do that.
It might go to the village board. Just, you know, if they say, if you know, this committee says no, you might have some groups that are going, well, I'm going to the board, and then they'll ask the board. So just...
I could see that.
Yeah, maybe...
Chances are most of them are going to.
Maybe you don't call it a fee. Maybe you call it a maintenance cost.
Or
something that takes the fee out of it, where they're looking for a donation, where they understand that there's a cost associated with
it. Like a user or something.
Yeah, a user fee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that gives me some direction on where to go. You know, definitely create a form, mm-hmm. you know, that they would have to fill out and state their case and, you know, everything like that.
And I think the key to it is to don't overcomplicate it.
Right.
Just, you know, one sheet. Here's your event. How many do you plan on, mm-hmm. you know, 50 to 100, we're asking for $25,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Sure.
100 to 200, we're asking for $50. I don't know what that number is, but just place it like that, and you'll be amazed at how many people come in with 50 to 100 person events that there's 300 people at.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, your cost is offset. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, good. Any other comments or questions? No, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Number 9, discuss and take action regarding the UWGB community signage design project.
Maybe we won't see it.
Maybe not.
I'll have to huddle around your laptop. Okay, there you did something. There you go.
Trevor Fuller and I have we've been working with a group of students, design group from UWGB, to come up with some ideas for us as a village to standardize our signs and be able to have a common theme behind all of our signage throughout the community that's public signage, so that we can create a sense of place, kind of a, you know, when you're in Alloway, you know you're in Alloway. And, you know, something that we can use from village entryway signs to wayfinding signage, whether that's along the streets or on our trails, to our village park signs, and our main entry park signs, our community building signs, and even banners. You know, this year we started with Christmas decorations, you know, holiday decorations up on Webster, and the next step is we're going to start to look at some of those banners, those nice long one, the two arms that stick off a pole. We're going to look at starting a program of doing some of that as well. So,
with what, aloe? Welcome to Alloway or Alloway.
We don't even know yet. Okay. We don't even know yet what yeah. these different things are going to say. Banners. One thing we threw around with banners is, well, we have our farmers market here. Should we not have something with farmers market around here, or welcome to yeah. Alloway, or whatever, those type of things. So we got in touch with. A group from UWGB, a group of students. I think there's 9 students in this class, and they have taken this on as one of their projects. They split themselves into 3 groups of 3, so there's 3 teams, and they came up with 3 different kind of ideas for us to take a look at and pick and choose and pick it apart, and maybe we take one of their ideas and go with it. Maybe we don't as a village. But it gives us an idea of some options that are out there. They were here last night at the Planning Commission meeting and presented this to the Planning Commission. And, after that meeting, there was a lot of positive feedback, I think. I wasn't able to attend, but Trevor said it was a pretty good presentation. So I'll go through this. I'm not going to go through it slide by slide, like a presentation, because I'm not sure, what some of it means. But this will give you an opportunity and an idea of some of the potential signage themes that we're kind of looking at. Trevor and I started the project by giving the class some parameters, some background, a little bit of history, but then they also did a lot of research on their own. So one of our additional goals, I guess, to this was to also provide some real-life experience to the class by having them create something that they may do when they get a job and present it in front of people like they did last night. So, but some of the design briefs was finding wayfinding solutions, signage that's unique to Alloway, develop designs for different uses. Whether that's the entrances, parks, trails, buildings, special signs, and lastly, water tower. We'll touch on that one here in a little bit. So each group developed their own set of designs, so 3 different groups here. This just lists all the parks, in the community, other locations, trail, community building, Riverside Drive, and entryway points into the community, on Webster, Riverside, Alloway Ave, and 172. So here's some of the current signage and picture of the water tower. I think we're the only water tower in the area that doesn't have something on it. So some other current signages.
How about this? Donate?
Donate here.
On the water tower. Big neon sign.
Donate here.
Donate here. This is our current village logo and kind of some inspiration that the group utilized. Group 3. One idea came up. And this European hamlet, this has been mentioned by many people, that kind of the old world feel of the community, small community, European hamlet, brick, rocks, stone. There's some kind of historic buildings in the area with, stone and different things like that. So these are some of the ideas that they started with. Incorporate ledge stone, keep the logo design noticeable and eye-catching. So this is some of the things they started with. This group in particular, one thing that that they kind of kept coming back to is, this land and sun thing, which, I don't know if everybody knows this, but this little curly Q thing in our logo, The blue is for the water of the rivers. The green is for the land. And this top part right there is actually supposed to be yellow, which is for sun. So, here's some sketch concepts that they started with. And some first ideas for signage. Here they've got the blue, water, green, land, and the sun. Some second ideas that this group came up with has the little swirly, curly Q here, you know, incorporated. And then this is some refinements that the group did. And this is their refined welcome sign. It's got that curly Q with the, and this actually looks a little more like a river even. Public signs, community center. So this is, you know, that same thing, but just flipped sideways. And then a kiosk. One thing that we talked to them about was future public spaces. When we look to, you know, during our corridor studies, we look at some redevelopment areas and more walkability and things like that. One of the ideas was, okay, how are we going to get information at those locations, kiosks? So this was some ideas that they had with regards to that, which, you know, the multiple panels in between some lighted bollards, which I thought was an interesting idea, something that I didn't even think, you know, potential. Banners, we were talking about banners. Here's some Village of Alouette style banners, and then their refinement with a little bit more intricate detail. So, final designs that this group came up with, I thought they were very interesting. A little bit of you know, that progressive. You know, our logo says Village Alloway, historically progressive. So this one was a little bit more on the progressive side. Group two, their ideas, mix modern and old style, the ledge stone again, and more iron work. A couple of their ideas, you know, was... this is an old European style wayfinding type signage, so using more stone and you know, some ideas that they had for types of signs. Here they have more of that ledge stone base, which I kind of like that, you know, that look of that solid, that historic ledge stone type of look, and utilizing that within the signage, and then again, using the that curly Q type of design. Their ideas for wayfinding, kiosks with maps and different types of verbiage, and something more with some hanging type things. And you notice this group and another group and the next group coming up, but how they use their banner hangers.
That's nice.
Had that little curly Q in there. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah.
And this group came up with the water tower design. And here's actually a depiction of that they did. And if you look at our water tower, it's got all those ribs on it. How are you going to do anything with that? You make a mural out of it that goes all the way around it. And then putting actually Alloway on there rather than a cross, you put it in a vertical. I thought, well, that's a great idea. You know, whether the mural's like that or not, but at least it's an idea to get people thinking of,
yeah,
what can you do to it. And then group one, again, using more of the ledge stone and then more of the common sign shape. This group did a little bit more historical background of the community, you know, looked at some of the old houses and buildings and, you know, the different stone. Some of the other buildings, the community center, Green Isle Park Pavilion. This group had a really good idea that with regards to our park signs, What their idea was is have a standard type of a sign, but each park has a different logo within that sign that depicts what's special about that park. For instance, Green Isle, this little picture, they've got the pavilion. Another one that they show a little bit later is got the bridge. Kind of special for Green Isle. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was very interesting idea that you could still have that common sign design and theme and that, but then every park has their own little look to it. So some other options they had, these were mile marker type of signage. Have look of stone, but there again, kind of separates Alloway from other communities. You know, if we were to put those along the East River Trail, well, as you're walking along from De Pere into Alloway, well, you know when you're in Alloway then, type of thing. So, here's some of their ideas for the park entrance signs. Different things. Soccer ball. I think that was pickleball for Kiwanis Park. Langley tennis courts. Down here, Miracle Lake. Different thing. Kayakers Point. Wheezy Park with the disc golf. You know, different things like that. Do these have to be the, what they look like? No. But it gives us an idea of something that we might want to think about doing in the future. So. Here's what some of their signage would look. See how this group uses that little curly Q as a sign hanger again. So, and using what did I do? That was the last one. But using the stone as a base, around the sign, it gives it that a lot of that natural, old world type of look, if you want to say, but. Still maybe utilizing more current look to the sign. So that's a quick run-through of the presentation at the group. This is just the first step. What we're looking at doing with the class is refining and taking back some comments from the various committee and planning commission. And ultimately they're going to kind of refine this, take our suggestions, tweak things, go to the village board with some ideas and let the village board make some decisions on, is this something that we're interested in doing for the for our community signage, and is this something that we're interested in doing for a water tower, those type of things. So what I'm looking for from the committee is a recommendation. If you liked any certain thing, maybe something that we can let the village board know in the future that, you guys kind of liked this, didn't like that, those type of things. So, questions?
Reactions?
How much money do we have?
Well, we have some, and this is a long-term project.
Yeah.
This is not something that we're going to do overnight. For instance, our park signs.
Yeah.
Our park our sign replacement program is to do one sign a year. Mm-hmm. $5,000.
So the big monument signs would be at the entrances to the village?
That's our hope, yes. So where that is.
The expenses, those are, I'm sure, because of the size, are going to be.
More, sure.
They have to
sure.
Be.
And that right there. Kind of nice.
But, doesn't say that we can't find money somewhere else.
Is there any type of, I don't know if you call it an inventory of how many of those signs we'd need, these signs, park signs, banners we'd need? Is there any even idea what
there
the
is some ideas,
volume is?
Right. Park signs, for instance, we have.
I think those banners coming off the streetlights. Are really eye-catching.
They are. And, the village board has even said that they want staff to continue to look into things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We started with the holiday decorations, and you know, Village Board said, hey, keep going with it. Keep going with banners, you know, different things like that that really make the community stand out and that type of thing. So,
but I do like the idea of the consistency of the, you refer to it as the curlicue.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that, you know, with the
nobody
rivers.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, so maybe that's something that we make consistent on every single thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, and that's where we start.
Sure.
You know, and maybe
sure.
It's wrought iron, or maybe it's, you know, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Is it something that's durable, going to last a long time?
Right.
Painted the same consistent color.
Yeah.
You know, so that they're all the same.
Sure. Sure.
Now, the multiple logos for the different parks.
Mm-hmm.
With a limited budget, I could see that being a problem, because now you're redesigning all the time.
Sure.
And then what do you use for what park, and what do you... I know what they're kind of going for, mm-hmm. is like a map of what's available at
mm-hmm.
each,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think we'd do that in print. You know, we could take that concept and put it in print. It doesn't have to be a new logo for each sign.
Right, and this doesn't necessarily even cover the opportunities and options we would have for sign materials. What are you going to make your signs out of? This isn't even going that route.
Right.
You know, you can make signs out of metal. You can make them out of wood. You can make them out of... Styrofoam, you know, you can make them out of all sorts of materials that last anywhere from a year to 20 years, you know, or more, you know, different things like that. So this is just the first step in trying to come up with a common theme that we can hang our hats on and say, okay, from here on out, this is what we want. You know, anything that we do with regards to the signage, anything like that, we use this in there somehow. And then people know, hey, we're in Alloway.
And we have what, six entrances coming into Alloway?
I was trying to count them.
Yeah, or more.
Six.
Yeah. And then but a few just major ones.
Right.
You know, with side streets, we have, you know, Alloway Avenue, and Libel, Webster, Riverside. Riverside coming the other
Riverside
way.
Riverside both
Webster.
Ends. Webster both ends.
Yeah.
You know,
Libel both ends.
You know, we're not even talking about what or if we can do anything around 172.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can't do anything within the right-of-way, do we do something just outside the right-of-way at every location? You know, we could put four signs right there.
Maybe that's the water tower.
Know, or use the water tower. And definitely you point this right at Lambeau Field, so when they have Monday Night Football and they do their shots, everybody sees Alloway's across the river.
Yeah, they have to do something really special with that.
Yeah, exactly.
It stands out.
So.
Put in neon paint, so that way at the nighttime football,
glow in the dark.
That is clearly going to be the biggest expense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Nice to talk about.
Yeah. Industrial paint, and
I think it's on the right track to get the consistency of using the same logo,
sure.
The same design, and if you're going to use the curlicue, that it's painted the right color, that it's, you know, and consistent and usable. You know, you want something that you can put on a patch, on a shirt, mm-hmm. on a logo. You mm-hmm. know, it's got to be conducive for that.
Sure. Thoughts about stone? That seemed to be a consistent thing within.
You know, they look. It's going to cost more, of course, but the maintenance free. But
others,
the monument. It looks too boring. Just brick.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. I agree.
If they're going to do something masonry, I think they'd some type of a, you know, stone.
More of that natural ledge stone type of look.
Yeah, I think ledge stone.
And there's even new options out there. We did meet with one sign company, and they have products out there that look like real stone that are not, that are, you know, half the weight, half the cost, you know, different things like that that once you install them, you don't know the difference. It's amazing what's available nowadays. Mm-hmm. So,
I think, you know, the thought of staying historic is important for Alloway. But yet the squiggly thing is real progressive. That's more artsy. So you take the historical with the ledge stone and stuff and blend it with the more of the modern and the arts type logo. I think that's a nice combination.
Okay. All right.
If you drive by Murphy Cole's front gate,
drove by it today. I saw the presentation yesterday.
Yeah.
That squiggly line is close.
Oh, it is.
On the gate. Not exactly, but
okay.
It's close.
Interesting. I'm going to have to go check that out tomorrow.
Okay, and that's been up forever, hasn't it,
Jim? It's been up since the 20s. Yeah. 100 years.
Perfect. It's the right step.
Yeah. Okay.
All the action you need.
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, just make a recommendation that, you know, probably at least stay on the line with using that logo, you know, the curly thing. And
using those on the light poles to hang out banners, I think, mm-hmm. would look good. That very cool.
Yeah, it fits. Yeah. And it's consistent. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, do I need a motion for that recommendation? Or is it just a recommendation from the committee?
Just a recommendation.
So if we have that right, then our committee recommends that you keep moving forward with consistent signage.
Okay.
Sticking with the logo, accentuating the logo, staying historic.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else?
And
painting the white.
You know, an easy thing to start with right now is just the consistency of the logo mm-hmm. and the colors. Mm-hmm. You know, and get the Pantone colors and get them, you know, written down someplace mm-hmm. so when somebody says, hey, I need this, you know, get a digital master copy of it that when somebody needs it, so that it's always the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just looking at the patch on your shirt where
right.
it says Historically Progressive on the bottom. That font is different than what I saw up there. Yeah, so it's
sure.
Just all needs to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else? Any future agenda items from the committee? Hearing none. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No one opposed.